So let's just take a little time and thank God today. We thank Him in the good times and the bad. We thank Him. A few minutes ago, and I'll get into this, I was looking at the beautiful pictures, and I was sitting here, and I told Denise, I got a complaint. I said, you know, I'm tired of the leaves. And she said, yeah, she said, you know, but I don't have any trees anymore to have leaves. It's all perspective, isn't it? Sometimes we tend to... We get focused, and you know the things we have to do are important. You know, I mean, we have just tasks to take care of, and it's we know it's not the biggest thing in the world, but we have things we have to take care of, and there's just maintenance issues, things we have to do on a daily basis, and we get disappointments. Some of them are big, and some are small. You get a new jacket and you tear a hole in it. It's a disappointment. It's not going to alter life, but it's a disappointment. And then you have things that come along that are major disappointments. And it is a very difficult thing at times to stop and praise God in the difficulties. But when I was thinking about the list of sins, and you know, we don't list sins. We don't know sin greater than another and all that type thing. But I wonder at times if maybe one of the greatest sins may be ingratitude. And ingratitude is not just not being thankful, it's not taking the time to be thankful, not taking the time to give thanks. If thanks is the greatest virtue, then failing to give thanks may be one of the great sins that we have in human history. So in that line, I'm going to look at three passages, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18, Psalm 100, which Jacob read, and Psalm 103. So let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in the reading here, we will get a glimpse of being thankful and giving thanks to God. So starting with verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You know those verses, you've heard them many times through your life. Give thanks in all circumstances. When circumstances are bad, you give thanks. You know, giving thanks not for the circumstances necessarily, but in those circumstances, always give thanks. When Christy had her issue a few years ago, we had an interesting situation. We had just changed health insurance. Anybody ever hear of a health insurance story? We had just changed health insurance, and it was about this time of year, maybe, that she had the issue. But it was late in the year, and they had this pre-existing deal, right? And even though she had not had this problem, she had gone to the doctor for something similar months earlier, and they called it a pre-existing condition of some because it related. And so we started figuring up, she needs this operation, and what are we going to do here? And she called Dr. McKenzie, and he went through the whole thing, and he said, if I can get this down, he basically said, you know, we can probably get this done for, I think it was $16,000 at the time, something like that. Yeah. And so we were like, well, okay, we can. But then at the end of the phone call, he said this, because we were riding to Thomasville, I remember that. And at the end of the phone call, he said this. He said, but you know, he said, I think you're good to go. If it will make a difference in the insurance, we can wait to January to do this. And you know, when he said that, it was an interesting of how the relief was there. Okay, you know, and then she was secure in her mind, we can wait until January. The other day, I was talking with somebody, and they approached me, and their problem was they had an issue come up, and they don't have health insurance. So I was able to tell them, you know, for whatever reason, I kind of know about this stuff, and I was able to tell them what they need to do in the interim and what they need to do to get insurance for the beginning of next year. In the conversation, I said, what I'm trying to do is give you some hope. And they said, you have given me great hope. Sometimes when somebody goes through something, they understand when the next person goes through that and how we can get hope from that. So let's look at this. The first thing I want to say is be vigilant, not to allow ingratitude in your life. And again, ingratitude is not being unthankful. Sometimes it's just not taking the time to be thankful. I'd like to thank you. And in Romans chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that the people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him or gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened, and they claimed to be wise, but they were fools. Notice in there, it said they let their minds go to such a place to where they neither glorified God or gave thanks to Him. Now, I don't even need to run in the area of criminal, the criminal mind, because I can't understand it completely, although I really can. Because the criminal mind is my mind if I'm not glorifying God, giving thanks to Him along the way. Because if you don't do that, you start to look at yourself, what I don't have, how I've been mistreated, how things are not going my way, and you start to resent and have envy to those around you, and it can lead to very dark places. But we should have a commitment to Thanksgiving. You know, you probably read this week about this family from Texas traveling to Disney World, and in Louisiana they had a wreck. The 16-year-old was driving, and I think they had like five other kids, and the parents and I think three kids were killed. And they weren't wearing seat belts, and I can imagine it was in the middle of the night, you know, people laying, trying to sleep and so forth, and you see that tragedy, and you start thinking how it can be prevented and so forth, and that's a good thing to think about. But all I can think about is this 16-year-old. I mean, the life-altering is not, you can't even put that in the life-altering category. I mean, how do you overcome that? And you can't without Christ. So thank God in all circumstances, even when the circumstances are as nasty and as dark and as ugly as you can imagine. I want to mention a couple things. You know, we have it good. We really do have it good. Leaves. That's my big complaint. Leaves. You know? We really have it good. 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or put their hope in their wealth, which is uncertain, but put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for enjoyment. And that's a great thing. We have a thing in our house. Mary Catherine and I, we've been ready to get on with Christmas here for a couple of weeks. And we got others who are, you know, let's slow this thing down, you know. And when Mary Catherine and I are in the car together, you know, it's Christmas music from the iPod and all this kind of stuff, you know. When we have others in the car, we have to be a little more tactful, at least till Thanksgiving's over. And she came to me the other day and she said, you know, last year we decorated a little early. And she had talked about that and evidently had gotten resistance from someone in the house. I'm not going to name names. And she came to me, she said, do you think you could kind of work it out? You know, and I did, you know, can you sweet talk and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, and I did that night. And one night, I mean, it was like Wednesday or Thursday night, I was in bed and I got a text. I mean, this is like 11 o'clock. And she said, I'm reminding you to work it out. and you know, that life is good. You know, there are so many good things in life and how rich they are. And how we sometimes spend more time worrying about when they might go away, or what we don't have, instead of enjoying those moments. We also enjoy it so much. In this command, it said, you know, if you're rich, don't be arrogant in your wealth. But, you know, use your wealth and glorify God in it and enjoy what you have. Now, we're wealthy not just in money, but we're wealthy. We got nice houses and decent cars and food to eat all the time. And we come even tonight or maybe even Thursday, we're going to feast. You know, some of us have been on diets, although we've slipped over the past couple of weeks. That's a different story. But when you're on a diet and you're sick of eating boneless chicken breast, anybody ever been there? And, you know, you're saying, and sometimes you think about Thanksgiving and you say, I can't wait to feast. And it's not just the glutton part, it's feasting. And have you ever thought about this? Feasting unto the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your bounty. Thank you for this. And, you know, while you're thanking Him for that, enjoy that dressing that has six sticks of butter, whatever it might be. Don't think about that Thursday. Somebody said, and I think it's true at times, We worship at work, and we work at our play, and we play at our worship. And that may be true. And we should have that reversed. We worship God in what we do. And we enjoy things because God has given us liberty to enjoy those things, not because we have earned them. But we express our gratitude so little. I put some other verses you can look up later, by the way, in some of these. But we express our gratitude so little. And I mean not just to God, but to one another. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for these things that you do. I want to thank you for loading the dishwasher. Does anybody else hate to load the dishwasher, you know? And I want to thank you for doing that. I want to thank you for cutting the grass. Or I want to thank you for making sure that, you know, we have adequate supply of this or that or the other, you know. I am very happy not to make a grocery store or a Costco run. I used to like, I don't like it anymore. And Christy, she goes and she gets milk 4 gallons at a time. And she keeps that milk, and when we run out of milk upstairs, she said, there's another gallon waiting on you. Isn't that nice? Isn't it nice not to have on a Sunday night to run to the store to get a gallon of milk because she's thought in advance about that? And it's just so happy. I think about the cartoon that pictured Charlie Brown and Snoopy on Thanksgiving dinner. And it was just the usual, you know, they had a big turkey over here and Snoopy had his usual dog food. And so he's looking in the bowl and he said, this isn't the fair. The rest of the world is eating turkey with all the trimmings and all I get is dog food because I'm a dog. All I get is dog food. And he stood there and he stared in his bowl and he said, well, it could be worse. I could be a turkey. And we know that. But sometimes just thinking the perspective, hey, I, you know, like to have trees to have leaves fall and so forth. But gratitude is something that is not natural. It is something that God gives us. How about this? I'm thankful to pay taxes because it means that I have enough business in order to pay taxes or that I'm employed. Well, you know, I'm thankful that my clothes fit sometimes a little too snug because that means I've had plenty to eat. My shadow who watches me at work because I'm out in the sunshine. Or maybe I'm thankful that I have a lawn that does need mowing. Or sometimes when the gas bill comes in and it's February and it's been cold, I sure am thankful to have a warm house. Or what about this? When you hear somebody sing in church and they're singing off key, thank God that you can hear and that they're making a joyful noise. We can turn all those things around if we really want to and start having a lifestyle of gratitude. There was a young man and he went to college and he was smart and he graduated with his accounting degree and he became a CPA finally. And he looked at his father, who was an immigrant to the United States. Didn't have a lot, but he had a little small business. And he looked and he said, Father, I want to help you with your bookkeeping. And his dad said, okay. And he came and he looked and said, Dad, you don't even know how much profit you made. You got one drawer with your accounts receivable. You got another drawer where you keep your receipts and you keep all your money in your cash register. You don't even know how much money you have or how much money you've made. And the father said, Son, when I came to this country, all I owned was a pair of pants. Now your brother is a doctor, your sister is an art teacher, and you're a CPA. Your mother and I own our own home. We have a car, and we own this little business. Now you add it up, subtract the pants, and that's how much I've made. And we really ought to do an accounting. You know, I think somebody wrote it well. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and you will see what God has done. The second thing is this. We not only should fight and be vigilant about not allowing ingratitude to sneak into our lives, but we need to give thanks publicly as a witness. In Acts 27, verses 33 through 36, right before Paul was in the shipwreck, they were on the ship, and it said this, just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. Now, have you ever been anxious and not wanting to eat? Can't eat? For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. These guys hadn't eaten for 14 days. That's how nervous, anxious, and upset they were. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. After this, he said, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. And he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. May I say this, that our thanksgiving, not Thanksgiving Day, but our thanksgiving is a mechanism, is a purpose to bring encouragement to other people. Everybody's in a bad situation. For 14 days they hadn't eaten. They were nervous. They were scared to death. And Paul said, you're going to have to eat because you're drying up to nothing. You need to eat for nourishment. And he took the bread and he gave thanks to God. Now, if I had been nervous enough for 14 days not to eat, my natural heart would say, don't be giving thanks. Be saying, what are you going to do? When are you going to do it? But he gave thanks to God. In verse 35, I love this. He took the bread and gave thanks. The text is talking about just the time before the ship was that Paul was on ran aground and the ship's crew hadn't eaten. And he urged them to eat. When you give thanks to in front of others, it can be encouraging. When you give thanks for a meal, you know, when we pray before a meal, we give thanks. Lord, thank you. And it can be a source of encouragement. Number three, the third statement. There must be thanksgiving even in the current culture of impurity. Ephesians 5, 3 and 4 says this, but among you there must not be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. We live in a world of impurity, of sexual immorality, greed, and all this darkness. And in that kind of world, we must be people of thanksgiving. We give thanks to God. I'm far from the best singer in the world, but I love singing, Blessed Be the Name of the Lord. Sometimes I sing when I'm going down the street. I sing in places, and I hum hymns, and I love to sing. I love when I'm in the yard to have the thing, the ear bobs in, and I'm singing or listening to music. I mean, stuff you would not imagine that I would be listening to, you know, zippity-doo-dah, you know, I'm just singing, what, because I love to have great music, most of it Christian, but some of it not, that really lifts my heart. And that brings me to the fourth statement. In the midst of asking, we must give thanks. Children don't learn this, but when they learn it, it can be a beautiful thing. When you get a child who starts learning how to butter you up, well, instead of looking at them as being a conniver, you might say they're learning how to be somewhat grateful. They're learning how to say thanks. Do you remember the first time you take a child maybe trick-or-treating or something, and all you're doing is they get, what do you say? What do you say? And you keep telling them, say thank you, you know, or Christmas gifts or whatever. What do you say, you know? And the child hadn't really learned this connection yet, because they're saying thank you because you told them to. Really, all they're interested in is the car in the box. But eventually learn to be thankful. I'm very grateful, and I'm thankful for this gift. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Or as Jesus said in Matthew 7, ask it will be, and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. He who seeks finds, and he who knocks, the door will be opened. But which one of you who asks for bread will, or if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask? I was reading about Charlie Hodge. He was a Presbyterian minister in the pioneer days of our country. And he said this, and I think this kind of, I can really buy into this because I'm a simple-minded person. And he said this, I think that in my childhood I came nearer to Scripture where it says, pray without ceasing, than in any other period of my life. As far back as I can remember, he said, I had the habit of thanking God for everything I received and asking him for everything that I wanted. If I lost a book or one of my playthings, I prayed that I might find it. I prayed walking along the streets, in school and out of school, whether playing or studying. I did not do this in obedience to a prescribed rule. It just seemed natural to me to give thanks to God and to ask him for everything. I thought of God as everywhere present, full of kindness and love, and would not be offended if children talked to him. And I say we need to get back to that childlike faith. Talk to God. Lord, thank you. You know, seriously, when the car starts, thank you that the car starts. You know, because we had one the other day. Didn't start. You know? Yeah, and we give praise. And Christy and I were discussing. She said, well, you know, maybe this delay that we've had has prevented us from something worse down the road. Give thanks to God and talk to him. As I move to this next thing, I want to remind you of the verse we read a minute ago in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Well, I'd like for you to turn. We're going to look at two psalms. Jacob read one, and then we're going to look at the other. Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is a great, well, they're all great. You know, I use the word great. Some things I say are great that are not that great. But these are great. Great penned words. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives you of your iniquity. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. The other day, and I don't know if anybody has ever done this, you know, the internet is great. You know, you don't have to go to the library. I just use that word great again. Internet is good. You don't have to go to the library and look stuff up anymore. But I actually typed these words in. How to regain youth. Now, has anybody ever done that? And there are formulas for shakes out there. This, you know, this one guy had a vitamin regimen. If you take these 44 vitamins in the day and hold your right foot up as you do it, you know, you're going to be real. All this stuff. And and then I was reading and preparing for today, and I read that thing. So that our youth is renewed. Well, how is our youth renewed? Blessing the Lord and remembering what he has done for us. I want to mention a few things we can, out of this psalm, we can thank the Lord for. How about forgiveness? We thank God for his forgiveness. And we thank God that we have been pardoned from sin. What about his redemption? It's not just a pardon from sin, but he pulls us out of the pit. He changes life for us. He sets us in a new direction. Now, we really need to pray for people that are in the pit. Or how about his healing? He heals all our diseases. Or maybe his love and compassion. He has love and compassion for us. Or maybe satisfaction and renewal. If you look at verse 5 there, it says, he satisfies us with good so that our youth is renewed. I love to be satisfied. We had a crock pot full of chili last night. And I sat down to eat the chili, you know, and you know, doctored it up a little bit, put crackers in there, and sat there and ate the chili. Now I was hungry, and then I wasn't hungry. That's satisfied. And I like to be satisfied with the Lord. So as we go out the door, I want to mention some things from Psalm 100. Now I love Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Come into his presence with singing. You know, serve the Lord with gladness. I love to read these words. I would sing this to you. And if you got it in your mind, you'd start singing it every day. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's it. But I sing this sometimes. When I'm blue, I start singing Psalm 100. Look what it says in verse 1. We have the key to giving thanks, and it is found in verse 1. Make a joyful shout. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. We see this both in the Old Testament and in the New. Being joyful. We've been talking, and we talked some Wednesday night about Bishop Robert Andrews. Some of you didn't know him. But he was an extremely joyful individual. You know, he passed away a week ago, and they had, or a little over a week ago, and they had the memorial service last week, and I can't think of anything that fits his description more. He allowed the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Lord to flow through him. Just joyful. Joyful. I can't say I'm always joyful. I get under the circumstances way too much. I love the pictures from VE Day and, you know, from in New York's Times Square. You know, when victory was finally declared after Europe was defeated and finally Japan was defeated and the war was won, you've seen the celebration. And there's one great celebration picture that you've seen all your life. Well, who is it? It's what? A man, and he's kissing. Is it a nurse or just a girl? And he's got her over here, and he's giving her a kiss. And they went back, and they interviewed those people years later. They didn't marry or anything. But they talked about that kiss, that real excitement. Now, each year, Christy and I, we go to Times Square. Well, we don't go physically, but we'll sometimes watch it on the TV, you know. And, you know, Happy New Year lasts for about 3 seconds. And then it's a day like the next day, right? There are times when you're really excited and it doesn't last. But there are times when it does. And I pray that we will have the joy of the Lord and give the Lord a joyful sound, something that really lasts. Number two, you want to give thanks? Come joyfully. Number two, do it with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. I'm glad to do it. I'm glad to serve the Lord. I'm going to come before His presence with singing. There's another song I sing. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? Well, He lives within my heart today. And then those great words. I come with gladness. The third word in Psalm 100 is found in verse 3. We have joy, we have gladness, and we have dependence. Now, we don't like to be dependent. You know, you can look up the word dependent as IRS describes that word, and they have a definition for a dependent. Well, I'm not talking about that. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what happens, I belong to the Lord. We see here that the Lord is God and I am not. I'm glad about that. God is creator. God is shepherd. Someone has rightly said it like this. If we are created, He is the creator. If we are sheep, He is our shepherd. If we enter His courts, He is our King. If we serve Him, He is our Master. And that leads me to the next word. We find it in verse 4, and that is the word thankfulness. We have joy. We come with gladness. We realize we're dependent upon Him. I love the song that Christy put there, the second song that we sung. The third song, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. You notice in that singing it said, it talked about the harvest has been gathered, right? And now we're ready for the winter time. Of course, winter time in upper New York hit a little early. I saw friends that had snow drifts that were 10 feet and all this. But when you think about the gathering of the harvest, we don't live in an agrarian society anymore, so we don't think about it. But I believe we're something like a few days away from famine. Our food supply is only like a few days in front of what we can actually get, something like that. And, you know, if the food supply stopped tomorrow, we would have a few days worth of stuff to gather in. And we don't need to neglect, just because we don't grow everything ourselves, to thank God for our dependence upon Him and He takes care of us. And we're thankful for that. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and in His courts with praise. Thanksgiving flows from a thankful heart. And it brings me to the final word. It's in verse 5. And that is the word gratitude. Christy, there's a song that we heard Mary Catherine's, her performance or her ministry, and it's Gratitude. What's the name of that song? Yes. Thank you. with gratitude. And I can't sing it, but I love the lyrics of that. We come to you with gratitude. And I think of this verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. You know, I think this Thursday, I would encourage you. I don't know where you will be, but if any of you are the person who kind of, you know, maybe leads in prayer before the Thanksgiving meal, it's the shortest chapter in the Bible. Maybe type out, write out, read out. It would not hurt to read Psalm 100 before you pray. It's real short. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever ever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you with simple gratitude. We come to you praising and worshiping you. Lord, we hear hard stories. We hear hard things that happen in life, much like what we heard this morning. But even then, we are grateful to you that you have found a way out for us. Father, I pray for each home, each person in that home that is represented here and not represented here, that we would be people who find the powerful purpose of giving thanks, the powerful purpose of gratitude. Father, we know that you are God. We are your people. You created us. You sustain us. You lead us into the pastures so that we can live. We thank you for that. We thank you that you have given salvation so that we would not be mired in our sin. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that in your providence, you placed us in a land and a country which has the freedom of religion, freedom of the practice of Christianity, and we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that we've been placed in a place where we can share the gospel freely, and we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you. We have gratitude in our heart for who you are, who we are, what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen.